Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Now, let's begin this Wednesday Gathering with singing hymn number 126. Again, welcome to the healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Christly Compassion, a Divine Command. I shall be reading from the Amplified Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible. Psalms. Oh, do not earnestly remember against us the iniquities and guilt of our forefathers. Let your compassion and tender mercy speedily come to meet us. But he, full of merciful compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious, merciful, and full of loving compassion. You will arise and have mercy and loving kindness for Zion, for it is time to have pity and compassion for her. Yes, the set time has come, the moment designated. Matthew. Then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me, and I forgive him and let it go, as many as up to seven times? Jesus answered him, I tell you, not up to seven times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a human king who wished to settle accounts with his attendants. When he began the accounting, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Probably about $10 million. And because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything that he possessed, and payment to be made. So the attendant fell on his knees, begging him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And his master's heart was moved with compassion, and he released him and forgave him, canceling the debt. But that same attendant, as he went out, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii, about $20. And he caught him by the throat and said, Pay what you owe. So his fellow attendant fell down and begged him earnestly, Give me time, and I will pay you all. But he was unwilling, and he went out and had him put in prison till he should pay the debt. Then his master called him and said to him, You contemptible and wicked attendant, I forgave and canceled all that great debt of yours because you begged me to. And should you not have had pity and mercy on your fellow attendant as I had pity and mercy on you? And in wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers, the jailers, till he should pay all that he owed. So also my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. 1 John. If anyone has this world's goods, resources for sustaining life, and sees his brother and fellow believer in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him. How can the love of God live and remain in him? Little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice and in sincerity. Zechariah. Thus has the Lord of hosts spoken. Execute true judgment, and show mercy and kindness and tender compassion, every man to his brother. Isaiah. For though the mountains should depart, and the hills be shaken or removed, yet my love and my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace and completeness be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Luke. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great throng accompanied him. Just as he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. The large gathering from the town was accompanying her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he went forward and touched the funeral bier, and the pallbearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise from death." And the man who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Profound and reverent fear seized them all, and they began to recognize God and praise and give thanks, saying, "A great prophet has appeared among us, and God has visited his people in order to help and care for and provide for them." James, who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him by his noble living show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility which is the proper attribute of true wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not pride yourselves on it and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, animal, even devilish. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubt, wavering and insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others. That peace which means concord, agreement and harmony between individuals, with undisturbedness, in a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. John, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. But I have called you my friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from him.
You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you. I have planted you, that you might go and bear fruit, and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain, abide, so that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This is what I command you, that you love one another. And from Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. Implicit faith in the teacher and all the emotional love we can bestow on him will never alone make us imitators of him. We must go and do likewise, else we are not improving the great blessings which our Master worked and suffered to bestow upon us. The divinity of the Christ was made manifest in the humanity of Jesus. The rich in spirit help the poor in one grand brotherhood, all having the same principle or father. And blessed is that man who seeth his brother's need and supplieth it, seeking his own in another's good. Love giveth to the least spiritual idea might, immortality, and goodness, which shine through all as the blossom shines through the bud. If we would open their prison doors for the sick, we must first learn to bind up the brokenhearted. If we would heal by the Spirit, we must not hide the talent of spiritual healing under the napkin of its form, nor bury the morale of Christian Science in the grave clothes of its letter. The tender word and Christian encouragement of an invalid, pitiful patience with his fears and the removal of them, are better than hecatombs of gushing theories, stereotyped, borrowed speeches, and the doling of arguments, which are but so many parodies on legitimate Christian Science, aflame with divine love. Question: how can I progress most rapidly in the understanding of Christian Science? Answer: study thoroughly the letter and imbibe the spirit. Adhere to the divine principle of Christian Science and follow the behests of God, abiding steadfastly in wisdom, truth, and love. In the science of mind, you will soon ascertain that error cannot destroy error. You will also learn that in science there is no transfer of evil suggestions from one mortal to another, for there is but one mind. And this ever-present, omnipotent mind is reflected by man and governs the entire universe. You will learn that in Christian Science, the first duty is to obey God, to have one mind, and to love another as yourself. Question: what are the demands of the science of soul? Answer: the first demand of this science is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This me is spirit. Therefore, the command means this: thou shalt have no intelligence, no life, no substance, no truth, no love, but that which is spiritual. The second is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It should be thoroughly understood that all men have one mind, one God and Father, one life, truth, and love. Mankind will become perfect in proportion as this fact becomes apparent. War will cease, and the true brotherhood of man will be established. Having no other gods, turning to no other but the one perfect mind to guide him, man is the likeness of God, pure and eternal, having that mind which was also in Christ. Love one another. 1 John 3:23 is the most simple and profound counsel of the inspired writer. In science we are children of God, but whatever is of material sense or mortal belongs not to his children, for materiality is the inverted image of spirituality. Love fulfills the law of Christian Science, and nothing short of this divine principle, understood and demonstrated, can ever furnish the vision of the apocalypse, open the seven seals of error with truth, or uncover the myriad illusions of sin, sickness, and death. Under the supremacy of spirit, it will be seen and acknowledged that matter must disappear. Truth's immortal idea is sweeping down the centuries, gathering beneath its wings the sick and sinning. My weary hope tries to realize that happy day when man shall recognize the science of Christ and love his neighbor as himself, when he shall realize God's omnipotence and the healing power of the divine love in what it has done and is doing for mankind. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.